Welcome back to the Florida History Podcast. I'm Carter Krishnire.
And I'm Robert Bucciolato.
Robert, we're taping this in 2021, right after a very active spring break. And I have to say, I am shocked by the number of people who come to Florida. I haven't really been in the YouTube ecosystem until now. Because of COVID, I don't go anywhere. So I watch these 4K videos from different parts of the world. And for some reason, all the 4K YouTubers who were doing walks of Amsterdam and Venice and Los Angeles and Chicago, they all converged on Florida in February and March. And I'm like, what the heck is up? And it turns out they're all here for spring break, to film spring break, and everybody has come to Florida. I've been very careful about venturing out because of COVID, but it reminded me that there is a great history of spring break in the state of Florida. It was one of the economic drivers for this state, beginning in the late 1930s in Fort Lauderdale. And by 1960, students were swarming to Fort Lauderdale during spring break, Robert, and there was a famous movie called Where the Boys Are that was made that same year.
Well, and it's funny that you mention movies, because one of my favorite movies as far as comedy is concerned is the movie Some Like It Hot. And that actually takes place during spring break in South Florida.
Yep.
And just to show, because that takes place, I think about a week after the Valentine's Day massacre, and that just sort of showed you how ingrained the sort of climate and the allure of spring break in South Florida has been. That, I mean, we're talking over a century, people have been coming here for spring break, and I heard some rumors about people saying that they were actually a little bit happier this time around, that spring break didn't seem as noisy or as crazy this year as other years. And the only thing I can say is that's terrifying, because the images I saw looked, you know, I didn't even see any water on the beach.
I was horrified. Yes. Yeah.
Sweaty people. That was, and you know, I think we have a bit of knowledge when it comes to spring break in South Florida, because that's where both of us pretty much lived. And I mean, that's where I was born. And you know, I'm a veteran of many spring breaks in South Florida. And one of the things that I'm struck by is the sort of change that has taken place from it being this rich man Shangri-La in the 20s, 30s, to it being sort of like a GI hangout in the 40s, to it being, you know, oh, honey, let's get in the car and take the wife and kids in the 50s and 60s, to it becoming what it was basically from the 70s onwards, which is kids coming from everywhere and not leaving for a week. And this third transformation, you can actually map it out in not only the influx of new Floridians that takes place every single year, but the change that took place in Florida from being this North Florida-based society to it being a New South post-war climate, to sort of the 80s and 70s era of, you know, huge expansion, just doing everything it can for tourism, you know, a very invigorated commerce department, to what we've been striving for in the past 20 years, and that is to basically be this multicultural mecca for anybody and everybody, to sort of have this really powerful entertainment sector in South Florida. And as you said, that every year attracts a lot of YouTubers, very famous YouTubers that make fortunes on YouTube, something that continues to elude both of the hosts of this
show. Yeah, right.
But I know. But you know, and so their kind of legions flock there. But it also should be noted that there is a lot of events that have taken place over the years around this time period of the year, around this part of Florida, and so it's become this massive event every single year, and it just keeps on getting bigger and bigger, so much so that there's actually parts of the state, like Panama City Beach, that now has regulations in place to basically get all the spring breakers to keep going south to down to South Florida, where there, I guess there's room. And it's really taken on a life of its own, and it's one of those things, again, which I think might irritate native Floridians, is the fact that we've kind of become accustomed to losing parts of our state to new Floridians, and this is just another thing where we basically lose our beach for like 2 weeks. And I know it infuriates a lot of lifelong residents of the state.
Yeah, so Panama City has now getting upwards of 400,000, maybe a half a million students a year. And there have been lots of risky behavior because Panama City's spring break, they actually host spring break for a little longer into April. And there are hundreds of arrests each week for rowdy behavior, for students that are nude on the beach, obviously heavy alcohol usage, and sexual promiscuity and public promiscuity. So it's an image that a lot of places want to shed, even though it's a huge boon to the economy. Panama City now has that problem. They are the spring break capital of the world. Other spring breakers go to Clearwater Beach and to Daytona Beach. Fort Lauderdale specifically hit a breaking point in the 1980s. So Robert, this is when you were, I was very young. You weren't yet born, but you probably know the stories because of your family and particularly your grandfather being in the legislature at the time. So Fort Lauderdale and Broward County were growing from being this kind of playground, first a playground for the rich, as you mentioned, and then became a place for these rowdy college students, to being a very mature metropolitan city in the 1980s. So the population of Broward County hits 1 million in 1979. You've got IBM just to the north. We talked about that before, just to the north in Boca. A lot of the people who worked at IBM lived in Broward County. You had other tech startups. You were about to attract Wayne Huizenga's companies and all those startups in South Florida. The Port Everglades was becoming a major commercial hub, and that's Interstate 595 was being built. So Fort Lauderdale was becoming, in its own right, an important place. So local officials in Broward County and in Fort Lauderdale hit their breaking point in 1985. About 450,000 students or so came to Lauderdale that year. There were about 3,000 arrests. There were tons of events that had to be shut down by local officials. The sheriff, who had just come into office at the time, was a guy named Nick Navarro, famous sheriff in Broward County, Republican, Cuban-American, first Cuban-American sheriff, I believe, in the United States. And he cracked down. Fort Lauderdale police cracked down. The city of Fort Lauderdale cracked down. And drinking was finally prohibited on the beaches, and a wall was built, which was compared to the Berlin Wall. And I'm sure many of our listeners remember this or have heard about this. And it was to be I can't remember how many feet high it was, but it was substantial. And it was to separate the spring breakers from the public. And that went on for about a year. And then finally, students were told by officials in Broward County and by the city of Fort Lauderdale, they were no longer welcome, because Fort Lauderdale's economy had and Broward County's economy had evolved beyond needing all these spring breakers to come in. So you think spring break's going to die. What ends up happening is Daytona says, hey, come here. And Panama City says, come here. Clearwater says, come here. And the spring break tradition continued. Although as all of these places grow in importance and their economies evolve, spring break becomes more and more of a nuisance. But I was a kid when it happened in Fort Lauderdale, where basically the line was drawn in the sand by local officials. I mean, first they built a wall, which was what seems like a very authoritarian measure, but things were out of hand. And at the time, you also had actually a growth in international business, as we've talked about, Bob Graham and Wayne Mixon bringing a lot of international business to Florida, Robert. And much of that business, most of that business was actually centered on the Gold Coast, and much of it was centered around Fort Lauderdale. And the image of the city, they felt like to attract that business that Mixon and Graham were bringing to the state, they had to crack down, and they did.
And I, you know, you mentioned my granddad, and I probably shouldn't tell this story, but I'm going to.
Great.
My granddad, he resided in Pembroke Pines. That was where, you know, his district was and all of that. And he was having a party around the time of spring break. My mom and her soon-to-be husband, were not my father, but her soon-to-be husband was, you know, partying with friends, and, you know, they went to my granddad's house, and they ran out of ice, and all of these stores were, you know, basically getting ransacked by these spring breakers. You know, they're taking everything, you know, closing early and stuff like that, and they were desperate to find ice because, you know, this party was just hopping. And so my granddad hopped in the car with all of these college kids, and they went from motel to motel and basically stole ice because of the spring breakers. So that sort of explains, you know, the fact that the Florida Department of Commerce, a lot of the sort of videos and films that they would actually show in theaters up north, where now would be coming attractions and stuff like that, you know, the Come to Florida, they were after people like my granddad. They wanted older, you know, kind of well-off people to come and spend money and be quiet in Florida. They were not after the kids that were making businesses close early because the businesses didn't want to deal with them. And so that is why they tried to do things like the wall, was basically to kind of contain the problem. And it, as you can see, it worked out just great.
Yeah, and so all that happens is Fort Lauderdale's problems were transferred to Daytona and Panama City. And Panama City, as we speak, as we record this in the middle of April in 2021, has been trying to grapple with it for several years. But for Panama City's economy, it's a critical component. And but they've been trying to get a handle on it. So this story is probably to be continued in Florida history, but spring break, as it once was in Fort Lauderdale, is a part of Florida history, is a relic of Florida history. I should mention, a lot of those people also moved south to Dade County. Dade County, Miami Beach, was cultivating that image as a party place at the time. Fort Lauderdale in the 1980s was trying to shed its Fort Lickerdale image and become this very kind of mature city, which it became. But that meant those people just went south to Miami. And Miami, of course, has a reputation now as the great party city. And it's funny, the dynamics change, right? Miami was kind of the business center, buttoned-up city, and Fort Lauderdale was the party town, and now it's kind of flipped. And it has to do a lot with that period of time.
And again, too, to sort of add comparison, when Fort Lauderdale was, Fort Lickerdale back in the 50s, my granddad had just moved to Florida, and he immediately opened a bar in Fort Lauderdale, and he would run numbers for a gambling establishment that was operated by the mayor of Fort Lauderdale.
Yes, that's well known.
20 years later, you know, he's a, you know, chairman of the Florida Education Commission, you know, and you know, of course, you know, by then, Fort Lauderdale is trying to shed its past, and, you know, these kids just keep on trying to dig it back up, and so again, you know, a huge transformation in just about 20, 30 years from it being this sort of, you know, Wild West of Florida to it being sort of this nice suburb of, you know, white-collared people that really just wanted to go to the beach and have fun while their kids were out of school.
Yes, and Porky's is a movie, and Porky's Revenge, that Porky series from the 1980s, is a movie about a fictional place, but it is Fort Lauderdale, and I actually know some of the people, or knew some of the people, they've all passed away, but that the that story and that series was based on. So Fort Lauderdale had quite a reputation, and once, really because of the success, I would say it was more the success of the Graham administration than anything that had come before it, and Fort Lauderdale, because of its geographic location, And it's deep water port, best natural deep water port south of Norfolk, on the United States East Coast, and other factors. The decision was made. Okay, we can become a commercial hub. We can become a big business center. The governor, Graham, is bringing us international business. We got to clean up, and that's that transformed Broward County when you were very, very young. Robert, but before that, it was a party town, and it was Spring Break Central, and that changed overnight, basically, in the mid-1980s. So anyway, thank you all for joining us once again on the Florida History Podcast. We will be back with you next week.